Welcome to the second in our series of podcasts and radio programs broadcast with Afrobeats Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM New York, listener-supported community radio. This program has been developed on behalf of a network called Environmental Justice Organizations, Liabilities and Trade, or EJOLT for short. My name is Firoz Manji, and I'm going to be discussing with a number of activists across the world about their work on environmental justice, the involvement of communities, and the effect of mining and land grabbing and carbon trading and environmental degradation on their lives. In the last episode, we spoke with Nimmo Bassi from Environmental Rights Action and Friends of the Earth International. At the end of that interview, Nimmo Bassi referred to the slogan, "Keep the oil in the soil, coal in the hole," and I might add, "Frack off from the sands." Today we're talking to one of his colleagues and co-founder of the Environmental Rights Action, Godwin Ojo, to explore further the idea of keeping the oil in the soil. Godwin Ojo is Program Director of Environmental Rights Action, Friends of the Earth's Nigerian affiliates, and a member of the executive of Friends of the Earth International. We caught up with Godwin, who spoke to us from Benin City, Nigeria.
The Environmental Rights Action Friends of the Earth Nigeria has its headquarters in Benin City, where I am based. We have offices in Lagos, we have offices in Port Harcourt, offices in Yenagoa and Abuja.
Well, we're going to be talking about the whole concept of environmental justice. Now, amongst many people involved in this field, the term environmental justice is something we take for granted. But I suspect that many of our listeners are not necessarily particularly sure about what environmental justice means. Can you help us understand?
Well, environmental justice at the superficial level is talking about the externalities in the production process.
Sorry, when you say externalities, what do you mean?
That is in terms of some costs, some social and environmental costs that are evaded in the process of oil production. Basically, if you look at oil production, we are talking about those things not accounted for in the production process.
Such as?
Such as social dislocations, people that are affected or impacted as a result of oil spill or gas flaring.
So we're talking about the social costs then?
Social costs. So many other costs that are imputed, that are not imputed into the production process. So those are some of the things that constitute environmental justice at the superficial level. But at a more fundamental level, environmental justice is about the ownership and control of resources. And this is the area that many people do not reckon with. We are looking at local resources for local control. This constitutes environmental justice.
That's very helpful. Now, one of the things that we often hear when Nimmo Bassi speaks at public meetings recently, he insists on the slogan, "Keep the oil in the soil." Can you explain what that means?
Keep oil in the soil is our response to how we can curb climate change. It simply means that it is time to stop the addiction to fossil fuel. It is time to begin to look for alternative energy sources and renewable sources of energy. It is time to stop this oil carbon economy that has led to nothing but conflict, conflict, conflict. The example is the Niger Delta, where militants are up in arms, and even though there's amnesty programs, there's still a series of conflicts and death and killing that is going on in the Niger Delta. So oil, specifically for the case of Nigeria, has done more evil than good. We have a situation of oil costs where everything in the country, in terms of politics, the economy, the social relations, is tied to oil. So having seen that oil is the bane of the problem, it is better that oil is left in the ground. One, for ecological reasons, because there have been over 50 years of environmental degradation in the Niger Delta, and the spills and the frequent gas flaring has not been stopped. Two, Nigeria is a wasteful country. The little they have is being wasted. As we speak to you, the figure says that Nigeria is exporting about 2.5 million barrels of crude oil. But the reality, what people think is that Nigeria is actually producing up to 4 million barrels of oil per day. Where does the rest go to? Oil theft. Now, when you come to the money that Nigeria is generating, it doesn't percolate to the local people. The gap of inequalities is widening. So there's a lot of inconsistencies as a result of oil. The oil economy is distorting the lives of the people, is distorting local economies. So we are saying that no more new oil blocks. It is time to begin to move away from the oil economy to a post-petroleum economy. This summarizes what Leave Oil in the Soil is. And we are not just saying it in terms of leave oil in the soil. We are saying leave oil in the soil, coal in the hole, and fracking gas in the soil.
But let me ask you, some people would say that the world economy is very dependent on oil. I mean, you know, oil doesn't just produce petrol. It's used for everything. There are medicines which are produced, there are clothes, there are containers, there's plastics. I mean, the entire world economy seems to be linked to oil. Now, if we leave oil in the soil, isn't that create a problem?
I think the world has known a lot of revolution. The major revolution, energy revolution, the world has known relates to the industrial revolution that took place in the 18th century. Before then, other sources of energy were in place. And during the industrial revolution, a new form of energy, notably coal, was also in place. But these energy sources have been displaced, and the oil is gaining supremacy. We have foreseen that since oil is a finite resource, since oil is not a resource that cannot be finished, from what is happening now, we know that production is already lagging behind supply. Because of that, areas where oil is being taken at the moment, there's heightened resource conflict. And this conflict will continue as long as oil scarcity becomes the reality on a daily basis. So there is time to begin to think of this alternative that will save the world, that will save Nigeria when the oil finally dries up. For Nigeria, what is the reserve? Just 32 million barrels reserve. That is 32. So it was going to last between 20 to 50 years, not minding other discoveries. But for the world in general, the total oil proven reserve will not last more than 100 years. So will the world come to an end if oil production stops? That is the answer to your question.
But, I mean, there are a number of international corporations today discussing the use of biomass as an alternative source of basically using plant life and decomposing it into a way that can be used to produce all the things that oil can produce. We already hear a lot about how sugar is used to produce ethanol for running cars and so on. But there are huge problems surely involved in that, because already we are seeing as a result huge land grabs taking place across the African continent. We're seeing land being used for the production of sugar for ethanol. And these are driving up the prices of basic foods and dispossessing people, making people, you know, throwing them off the land. So, you know, is that alternative a realistic solution? Surely some people would say oil is a much better alternative.
Well, I think we are in support of biomass, but not in terms of competing with food sources. So all forms of biofuel, in terms of agrofuels, things related to food production, they are purely forced solutions to the energy question. Now, the energy pattern that we are talking about, we must differentiate between Europe type of energy required and the African type of energy required in terms of looking at rural populations. The main question is, whose energy? And energy for what? So in the context of rural communities, they just need basic energy to cook, to heat up what they need to do. So we are looking at non-grid, small-scale energy models. We are looking at how energy monopolies can be decentralized to non-grid methods in a way that local people produce their energy, local people supply their energy, local people are in charge of maintaining their energy systems. This grid system that we have seen in terms of large-scale hydro uses gigantic infrastructures. And this is part of how money is siphoned from third world countries. We are seeing enough of this model. We are looking at small-scale hydro projects, for example, or solar energy or thermal, that are locally produced and people are manning it at the local communities. So biomass, in terms of the way it's being practiced, is causing more harm than good. It's leading to a series of conflicts in the communities. The land grabbing is huge. You talked of land grabbing, but in the context of our discussion, the energy grabbing is huge. The oil industries in Nigeria, they are producing electricity from gas. But that electricity is taken away, as in the case of Kwale. The electricity is taken away into the national grid. And the communities who are the first line of these oil companies are denied, are excluded from enjoying this electricity that is taken from the gas in their backyard. This is the kind of energy model that the world is operating on. And we are saying, leave oil in the soil. Let us look at other alternatives that will benefit people so that we talk about energy equity and equal access to energy sources.
But is the problem that certain corporations benefit from oil production? I mean, surely we know they're not going to let go. I mean, if they leave oil in the soil, then that means their shareholders don't get the profits that they're looking for. So what do you think is likely to happen? Are these corporations going to listen, or are there other solutions we have to take to get them to change?
Yeah, there are two suggestions that we think can work. Number one is to ensure that the World Bank and other financial institutions do not keep subsidizing dirty energy. Dirty energy subsidy is rising by the day. Once subsidies are pulled away from the extractive industries, it becomes highly unviable. And that is one area that we should look at.
So you're saying that public funds that the World Bank operates actually is used to subsidize these private companies?
Exactly. That's the point I'm making, yes. Coal industry, the extractive sector, the $15 million I was giving to Shell to give to local contractors, all these are ways to water the ground and create a conducive atmosphere in an otherwise unconducive atmosphere that will not make profit. So their profit, their investment is subsidized, and that is why they are still in business. That is the first thing, and we need to withdraw that subsidy from the extractive industry.
Okay, I interrupted you. You said there was a second thing that needs to
be
done.
Yes, yes. So that is the first point that we need to make. The second point that we need to make, which is very important, is to define the forms of energy that are needed for our daily production. You and I, and possibly our listeners, are not interested in so much as gigantic structures in terms of big energy. How much energy do we consume in our household? In Europe, the pattern that is going on is that people can actually produce solar and put it into the grid system, and they get paid for that. But in Africa, like my house, the part I live in, Benin City, for the past 2 months, there was not even a transformer. So I've been in darkness for 2 days running generators. So we need to look at the energy that we really need, not the terms of the energy that the industry needs. The industry can define their energy in their own terms. But when it comes to individual consumption, another pattern, another model of energy delivery that is non-grid is being recommended.
Do you have any further messages you'd like to convey to our listeners?
Yes, it's to really talk about developing countries who are neck-deep pursuing Eurocentric model of development. This Eurocentric model of development is based on carbonized energy, and it is this carbon energy that is causing climate change, that is causing a lot of conflict. Most of the energy that is extracted in Nigeria in terms of petroleum are not used in Nigeria. They are sent to other countries, the gas, the petroleum, very little quantities used. So I will begin to request the national government to begin to look inwards to see how local resources are used for local development, and that the resources of countries should first and foremost be directed at the welfare of the citizens. I mean, this is hard to say, and even saying this in Europe, but this is the reality. And Europe should come to the understanding that these resources that are being taken away are not benefiting the local people. And so there should be a balance between production for export and production for local people. If our local people are disenchanted and dissatisfied, conflict is bound to arise. And the much talk about energy security will not be achieved. So in this regard, we are saying that energy access for all should be the axiom, should be what is pursued, rather than energy for few people.
Okay, Godwin, it's been great to talk to you. Thank you for joining us on this show. It's a real pleasure to have you participate on this project.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Bye.